is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Some very heavy steps there, you know? No, no one's ever asked. Hey, this is Father Vasquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast that looks at life, at the very fabric of our being, through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. And we call that polished look Armadoxy. So we're inviting you to kick back right now, relax, take it easy, unless of course you're driving, in which case, pay attention to the road, and then take it easy. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Yeah, I have to cover the bases, you know. We just went through that whole thing. You know, my son, first of all, let me tell you, I'm with my son. We were in Arizona. Do I have to tell you more? Do I have to tell you any more about where my state of being is right now? It's so beautiful. And guess what? We saw the sun rise and the moon set simultaneously. Yes, it was the full moon last night, and I kind of figured we'd have that chance in the morning. So there it was, the sun rising on one side. It's just like the movies, you know. It's like one of those pictures you draw when you're in elementary school. You know, you put everything out there, put the sun and the moon and the face and everything on the moon and the sun. Well, that's how it was. You're standing right in the middle of the desert. On one side, you see the sun rising and the moon setting on the other side. And, of course, that moon is big as Frank Bigelow's head, which means that, I mean, today is August 2nd. So if we had a full moon today, that means we're due for a blue moon the end of this month, right? I think we're going to be right in there. I haven't checked the calendar, but it looks like another astronomical anomaly that we get to share together. So that's coming up in a few weeks, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, that's beautiful. Of course, the desert is beautiful. I'm just back from this beautiful few hours that we spent in the desert. So let me tell you what happened. We go to the desert, and this is why I'm just cautioning you about keeping your hands on the wheel, about staying alert while you're listening to this podcast. Okay, so my son Badajan, he has just purchased a truck and he had to have it registered in the state of Arizona. So big change for me personally going to the DMV out in Arizona, because you see that over there you got a different way of life. Much different than what we're used to here in Los Angeles. Now, those of you who are listening from other parts of the country and in different parts of the world, you will be surprised. There is a regulatory commission here in the state of California that regulates automobiles. They're called the Department of Motor Vehicles. Now, to get your motor vehicle regulated or licensed, so to speak, you have to go through this big ordeal, okay? This is like even worse than going through what you have to, you know, just to do something in the Armenian church. And so you go through this big ordeal where this is true to life, okay? You go into our local DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, and you have to stand in line, but only after you have gotten permission. In other words, an appointment. Okay, so When you look, you're not going to believe this. The people who work at the Department of Motor Vehicle office work behind bulletproof glass. Yes, honest to God. Yes, that's right here. Here in the state of California, at the local Department of Motor Vehicle, you go in there and you want to talk to somebody, you got to talk to them through bulletproof glass. Now, which makes you wonder, okay, now what is going on here? What is the thing? First of all, how much cash could there be? It's not about people being robbed. It's probably just people are so frustrated that they go postal. Somebody just probably is, I don't know. I can't explain it any other way. It's the only office that you walk in there and it just hits you. Everywhere is bulletproof glass. And so when we go into Arizona, that was completely lacking over there. First of all, people make jokes with you. They smile at you. They talk to you. Much different than the Los Angeles, Southern California area. And on top of it, there is no bulletproof glass. They just say, okay, here you go. So that's one more thing that I add to the large, large list of pros to living outside of California and living out there in the desert. Of course, if you're not in California, you can't be at Apostle Studios. I am recording today from Apostle East. We are in Pasadena. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day. And that is something that we've got to talk about positively about Southern California. It is a really beautiful area. And of course, best part about it is we're going to spend a few minutes together and share some time. I just had to give you that little preface about Arizona. Those of you who have been listening for a long time know that it is one of my little hideouts. When I want to get away, when I want to get back to what it's all about, Arizona just kind of like dries you out. It dries out all the stuff, all the garbage that doesn't belong in you. So I got a chance to do that overnight. And I am back at the saddle and back in front of the wonderful Apostle microphone. Hey, I want to thank all of you who shouted out last week, who gave so many comments about the topics that we were talking about. And what was interesting about it was the tie-in that you made, the tie-in between Steve Jobs as a Buddhist and the indifference that he had for, well, basically being a jerk. Being a jerk and all the things that he was doing. And those words, of course, coming from the Wired magazine we referenced. Thank you for all the wonderful comments. And it was just an interesting. We went back and forth with a few of our listeners about some of the different aspects of the article. And if you didn't get a chance to read it, it's on the show notes from last week. But also what was interesting is the tie-in that you made with, well, Jesus. And I think that there is so much. At least when I read it, I kept referring back to our Christian roots and why, for Christ at least, he was so adamant about, you know, putting down nothing else besides this of being a hypocrite. And it's very interesting, isn't it? When you look at Christ, when you look at his stories as expressed in the Gospels, the narratives of his stories, what he does, his message and everything, he puts up with everybody. He tolerates everybody except one group of people that he cannot tolerate, and those are the hypocrites. And this was interesting in some of the comments that I got. It was the pointing our fingers at other people. And that's why I'm not really using any names today. But, you know, I did go back and forth with you on email. But I do want to make this point. So many times when we talk about hypocrisy, it's very easy for us to say, oh, yeah, look at those people. They are hypocrites over there. Look at these people, the people that go to church. I don't like to go to church because they're hypocrites. Just remember that Jesus could point at other people and say they are hypocrites by virtue of who he was. And Jesus is the only one that could point to other people and call them hypocrites. Because in our case, we all fall into the latter category. In other words, we are all hypocrites. We try, I mean, what does it say in our confessional? I tried to profess Christianity, but was found unworthy of it by my works. while knowing the evil, yet I willingly gave way. I mean, you live a life, but you fall short. You miss the mark. You are in sin. Jesus, being sinless, was the only one that was able to point to other people. So don't make that mistake. Okay, I'm sorry. We went back and forth with a few of our listeners, and so I feel comfortable sharing that with you too. It's not a condemnation, but it's really a cornerstone of the Armenian Orthodox faith. It's not about us pointing to others and saying, "Hey, look at you. You guys are hypocrites." No, we are all hypocrites. Jesus is the only one who can point to others and say, "They are hypocrites." Okay, very important. I remember a joke, I don't know if it's proper to call it a joke, a story, okay, a story that one of my parishioners shared with me a while ago, and he was telling us about how a preacher had gotten up in a church, and he was going to preach a sermon, and all of a sudden a man comes up bearing a gun, and he says, "All right, everyone who is not willing to take a bullet for Christ, let them stand up right now and get out of this church. Otherwise, I'm going to shoot whoever's left over here, but it's going to be a bullet for Christ." And sure enough, a large number of people got up out of the auditorium, out of the church, and left. And when those people who were willing to take the bullet were still seated there, this man then turned to the preacher and he says, "Okay, preacher, these are the real Christians. Go ahead, give your sermon." And I remember hearing this story, and obviously the punchline of the story is that basically these were the non-hypocrites. These were the people to take the bullet. These were the authentic Christians. But it is so far from what Jesus taught us, right? Jesus taught us that it's not about the choir. It's not about those people that the church is here for. Christ did not come for the ones, for the 99. He came for the sheep that were lost, for the people that did run out, for the hypocrites, for the people that, you know, just couldn't reconcile that faith with their lives. And he came to save all people. So it's really not up to us to be pointing to people and saying, "That person's a hypocrite. That person's wrong." No, we are all hypocrites. And if there's only one person who can do that, that is Christ, who can point to others and say, "You are living in hypocrisy." And you just remember, when he does point you out and says you are living in hypocrisy, he's giving you a chance, giving you an alternative to answer it with a change of heart, with a change in your lifestyle, to go back and find what is wrong and put it all together. Okay? So I appreciated all of the email that I got about last week's topic. It was a fun one. Yeah, I thought last week's next step was really in line with the next step. Actually, I've had a very, very good week as far as fruitfulness of the fruitfulness of the Spirit. I felt that the Holy Spirit has really been touching us in very unique ways. We kicked off our second round of domestic violence, our task force, and we came up with a name. I want to share that with you, our Next Step listeners. Came up for a name. It's called the Datev Outreach. Datev, I picked out because he was a saint of the Armenian Church, and I wanted a saint to be identified with this outreach. Saint Krikor Datevatsi, Saint Gregory of Datev. Datev is a place in Armenia. But more than that, the word Datev itself corresponds to this legend. And in the word Datev, it means "give me wings." Datev, or "give wings." Da is to give, and Tev is wings or arms. And so in the case of domestic violence, what a beautiful way to express it. But that's what this task force, that's what our work is about, is to give wings, to give arms, some to comfort and some to give flight to the people that we are ministering to. So we kicked off our second round of training volunteers for the domestic violence program here in the Los Angeles area. And again, you know, we had a new group of people and same questions, you know. Well, what are the statistics? Well, let me give you some statistics, okay? Let me give you some frightening statistics in the Armenian community down here in Los Angeles, in the Southern California area. Are you ready for this? There is a prosecution of about 2 to 3 a day. 2 to 3 a day, Armenians. These are just the ones that are prosecuted. not counting the ones that get picked up and not prosecuted, not counting the ones, of course, that are never reported. 2 to 3 family incidents a day. Now, multiply that out times a year, and you've got an epidemic going on. And of course, to me, as I said when we first started this domestic violence program, you know, even one is too much. Even if one incident of domestic violence takes place, it is too much. And it has to be addressed and it has to be stopped. So I'm really thankful for all of your prayers. And I know that we're going in the direction led by the Holy Spirit that we should be going. So I appreciate the prayers, and it's a difficult one. But when I tell you the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we've been enjoying. Last week's next step was, I know that there was a flow to it. Then a couple days later, we had a chance to do Compass with Linda Zadoyan. We were talking about the workplace, about faith and the workplace. And again, if you listen to last week's Compass, it was just flowing. Then I get to church on Sunday, and now I've prepared a sermon for Sunday. It was about a passage that not too many priests like to talk about. In fact, I remember before I was even a seminarian, I was a deacon, and I remember the priest that I was serving with here in the Los Angeles area said that every year when that lectionary reading came, he would ignore it. He would take something else because it would made him very uncomfortable. And I just remember him saying this to me, and it was in the back of my head. And every year, this lectionary reading, which comes to us right in the period between Transfiguration and the Assumption of Saint Mary, when it comes up, when this reading comes to us, I take advantage of this time to really reflect and try to come up with a message that will be something that will be comforting, considering the deep problems that we do have. The lectionary reading is from Matthew chapter 19 and refers to divorce. And this Sunday, I spoke about it, and I have to tell you, inspired by the Holy Spirit, I took it in a direction, and I felt a very unique comfort that I want to share with you. I'm going to do that right after the song of the day. Just a couple moments from now, we'll pick it up and we'll talk about that passage from Matthew chapter 19. For today, I want to share this song with you. Enjoy. Скахника и чуимаца не анексира и скисилеци ай чуамира таваджанети Florits mio tu manes calis da rumoro angerga darna yes to vesteri merak centori insiratia Go brush the object of in Siraziani. Adis and Vache singing Of Sirun Sirun. Ah, I like that song. I picked that out because of all the romance of love lost, love betrayed, all the elements that we're going to be talking about, or we think we talk about when we get to this subject. But we'll put a link on our show notes if you like that song, of course. Yeah, did you just think that Cher was the only Armenian who has one single name? Adis is one of those, you know? Adis, Vache, he's another one like that, okay? You just say Adis and you just know the quality of song you're going to get, Vache. Together on this CD, we'll make sure that there's a link on our show notes and you can check out all the good music coming from these two gentlemen. Provocative music for a provocative topic, huh? Well, before we go there, hey, let me do a big shout out for a good friend of ours, Adam Krikorian. He is he is coaching the women's water polo team at the Olympics. If you get a chance to watch those games, excellent, excellent games. Yesterday we saw them tie Spain, a 9-9 match, and a lot of pictures of Adam. We're so proud of him. He was one of our Sunday school students, one of Susan's Sunday school students back in Cupertino, and it's just great to see him achieve something that he loves so much. And I bring this up because if you've been following the Olympics, and I know it's kind of difficult not to, they're just all over the place, but I find them fascinating, and especially fascinating is the level of competition. I mean, you know, you look at, I think last night it was a swim meet, and it was within 1/100th of a second that 1/100th of a second. I mean, how fast is that? It's faster than the blink of an eye, okay? It's 1/100th of a second that the person, one of the participants won this race. And you look at them and he's standing there with the gold medal, and you look at the next guy who's standing with the silver and you say, well, he didn't win. Come on, what is 1/100th of a second? I mean, of course they both won. Of course he is world champion as well. You don't you can't say that he's not world champion, but you do, because he just missed the mark, even by a little bit. And when we talk about sin, that's exactly what we're talking about missing the mark. Even if it's sometimes very little, you're still far from perfection. This is what we were talking about a few minutes ago when we were talking about hypocrisy. Don't be so fast on calling someone a hypocrite, because we all are, because we all fall short of the mark. And certainly that gold medal winner is up there as the winner. Doesn't mean that the ones that won the silver, the bronze, actually take it all the way. Everybody who participated in that one tournament is a world-class athlete. You're talking about missing the mark by hundredths of seconds. Even if you miss it by 1 or 2 seconds, okay, come on, you're still in that world-class level. But we're so quick on saying, well, okay, this one is above that. This one is the gold. This one is the winner of the gold. And I share this with you because what I want to talk about is missing that mark when it comes to marriage and the topic of divorce. And like I said, this is a topic that, well, many priests I know of are very hesitant to talk about because divorce is so prevalent. It's all around. So if you talk about it, you're going to offend somebody, they feel. But I have to tell you, I'm sensitive to it too. It's in my family. It's in everyone's family. It's all around us. And to be honest with you, I've been a priest for 30 years. I have sat down with many couples who are contemplating getting married, many couples who are about to get married in my church in the form of marriage counseling. And I could tell you in 30 years, not one of them has ever contemplated divorce when they're sitting with me at that time. Of course, you don't contemplate it. You don't think about it. It can't happen to you when you're getting married. It's beyond it. No, you don't talk about it. It's impossible. It's not going to happen to me. And yet you and I both know that divorce is at a rate of 1 in every 2 marriages ends in divorce. So you're at a 50%. And the odds are against you. The odds are against you. So you better think about the possibility of divorce. And while you're doing that, also think about what it means. What it means to be divorced. And that's what I want to share with you today. Because as I was reading scripture, something just occurred to me. Now, that's what I want to share with you today on The Next Step. In preparing for last Sunday's sermon, where the lectionary reading was from Matthew chapter 19. And let me go through the story real quickly, okay? A bunch of Pharisees, and these are the guys that are very learned, that know the law, they know scripture backwards, forward. They come up to Jesus, and scripture says that they came to Jesus to test him, because they thought that they might catch Jesus in a hypocrisy. In other words, they'd catch him, and they'd say, okay, Jesus, look, the law says one thing and you're preaching something else, because Jesus was extremely tolerant of everyone. He loved everyone. Okay, he even loved the sinner. So let's see if we could catch him, because, hey, it's not right to be divorced. And yet Jesus was talking to people about love. And so they went up to Jesus and they said, is it right for a man to put his wife away for every cause? And by that, of course, the put his wife away means divorce. And of course, in those times, you're talking not about community property. You're talking about a man would dismiss his wife. And Jesus turns it around and he says, have you not read? He who created humankind created them male and female, and said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother. Listen to the wording on that. For this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but they are one flesh. And he says, whatever God has joined together, let no man ever separate. So now the Pharisees continue this argument, so to speak, with Jesus, and they say, well then, if that's the case, why did Moses, they're the man who gave them the law, why did Moses tell us that we can dismiss our wives with a letter of divorce? And Jesus said, he did that because of your hard-heartedness. Your hearts are hard. You have no compassion. And so therefore, there is this writ of divorce. Now let's look at that for a moment, okay? Because I think this is very important. And here's a key. This is a truly an armadoxy moment, okay? Because I think we really find what Jesus is talking about. And it's not about a man leaving his wife, and it's not about a wife leaving her husband. It's about the hard-heartedness that we have that prevent us from actualizing and really finding the will of God. Listen to this. This is not, and I want to be really clear about this, okay? I'm not here as judge to cast judgment on anyone. That it is not my place. I hope that you know me well enough that you know that that's not where I go with this. It's not to say you did right, you did wrong. God only knows those things. And you are the one who made those decisions. So whatever the case may be, this is not about a judgment, but to talk about the divorce clause, we're talking about a separation that prevents hope. That's what divorce is. It's the final writ, so to speak, the final chapter. And after that, there is no possibility of reconciliation. And Jesus said it was because of your hard-heartedness, because of the compassion that is lacking. Now, this is an indictment on all of us. That's what's lacking out of our lives. Take a look at what's going on in the world. Is that not the divorce of all of us being divorced from what's going on in the world to the point that we lose hope? I mean, you look at a situation that's taking place in Syria. You look at what's going on in the Middle East. We are divorced from these areas. We're saying we're not going to get involved. We have said no to this. And therefore, the only reconciliation is by weapons, by guns, by killing, by slaughter, by genocide. You see what happens at every point along the way when we say no, when we cut off, when we say that there is a divorce, and this is not about husbands and wives alone. Yes, husbands and wives get divorced, but parents and children get divorced. You and your boss, you and your employee get divorced. You and the person you're doing business with. Have you ever hung up on somebody because you just haven't gotten the answers and you just feel so hopeless at that point? Well, that's a divorce. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about just husband and wives. He's talking about our ability to communicate, our ability to engage in conversation. And yes, every single one of us is guilty of divorce because every single one of us at some point or another has lost hope. When we lose hope, that is the definition of the divorce. That means we cannot go any further. Think about all of the difficulties that we have in our lives. Can they be resolved? Well, in our head, you can. In my head, I know you can too. Yeah, if everybody lived the way I lived, everything would be okay, right? If everybody did things the way I want to do it, yeah, we'd have a good world. Life would be really good. Well, it's not just about my way. It's about our ability to communicate. And so when Jesus talks about the hard-heartedness involved in the divorce, he's talking about putting a period where there should be a comma. And this is a really easy way to express it. You see, a lot of times we put periods in our lives instead of putting a comma because we're, well, for many reasons, okay, because we think that we are hopeless. But I think the biggest reason is because we're impatient, okay? Things keep going wrong and wrong and wrong, and you figure it out in your head and you go, okay, I've got one life to live. I'm done with it. Put a period in it, okay? Put a fork in me. I'm done. Get me out of this kitchen. That may be the case. There may be cases for periods. There certainly are many cases for periods. But what I'm asking you is sometimes to take the challenge, take the risk to see that there may be an opportunity for that period to extend itself, to grab a little tail and become a comma so that God can say, okay, now here is chapter 2. Okay, here is the second portion. Here is a continuation. I mean, after all, isn't that what we do on Easter Sunday? And if you all sat and looked at the events of Good Friday, you would, as anyone would, anyone with a little bit of logic, would have said that is a period event. Jesus came, he spread love, he went up on a cross, they took the nails, they put it in him, they beat him, they put a crown of thorns on his head, he bled to death, he suffocated up on the cross, they took him down, they wrapped him up, they put him in a shroud and put him in a tomb. That is definitely, by all counts, a period event, right? If you put a period at the end of Good Friday, no one would blame you, right? But we as Christians know better. History has proved us wrong. That event was a comma event. That divorce, humanity being divorced from God, in other words, putting Christ on that cross, we divorced ourselves. We said, we're not interested. We are now divorced from God. But God said, wait, I'm not done yet. Where you're putting a period, I'm putting a comma. And I'm just asking you to have a patience. Have a little bit of patience and see that we can go on. We can go on to the next step. And sure enough, Easter Sunday, you arrive at the tomb. It's empty. The shroud has been taken off. You're greeted by someone who tells you, why are you searching for the living among the dead? And in your excitement, you run out and you see Christ, the living Christ, the incarnation of love, now resurrected from the grave. And you realize that there is hope. And so when we talk about divorce, there's this idea of separating ourselves, whether from God, whether from one another, whether in our relationships, whether from things. It is basically acknowledging our hard-heartedness. That's what divorce is. It's saying, I cannot deal with it anymore. I'm putting a period. God may want a comma there, but at this point, I'm putting a period because I can't deal with it. And now listen, really carefully. It's okay. Because you're human. We're all human. It's okay. But what you need to do is when that period starts hurting you and you have time to reflect, is to realize that new dimensions, new avenues have opened up. Here's a really easy thing for you to do, okay? You want to see if this really works. And this is why I was excited about this week, because, you know, as Armadoxy is unfolding for me, in this past several years, these things have been unfolding for me. And I'm seeing Armadoxy just really answering a lot of the questions that so many people have asked me throughout the years. And it's answering in a very intelligent, succinct, in a logical manner. As Susie said at the beginning of the Today Show, you know, you don't need to check your brain in at the door. Why? Why would you think that God would give us logic, give us minds, give us brains, and then say, okay, everything that I'm going to do now will be illogical? No. It doesn't even make sense, does it? He's given us a brain. He's told us, go ahead, use it. Rationalize. Think about things. There is a common order to the world. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to do things out of the ordinary. No. They are very ordinary. It's up to us to be awake to the extraordinary. So when it comes to the case of divorce, think about that, okay? Divorce means putting a period. We've lost hope. And God says, okay, you've lost hope. You've put a period there. Now give me a chance. Give me a chance. And if you give me a chance, I will give you what? The three things. Faith, hope, and love. And you look at those. Faith, hope, and love. The three elements that God gives us are the answers to our hard-heartedness. In other words, they are the answer to divorce. They are the answer to the period. And I really challenge you to take a look in your lives. You're going to find, if you do a scan of your lives, and I know you do this, you contemplate, sometimes you're brave enough and you share it with me at the different events that have taken place in your life. I know when you do this, you will find that many of the occasions where you thought it was a period, and even though you acted like it was a period, it was in fact a comma, and life has continued. And you found ways to reconcile. You found ways to make things work. I can't tell you how important this is, especially in a day and age that we're living in right now. When you look at the difficulties that we see throughout the world, well, today it's in Syria. Last year it was in Egypt. It's throughout the Middle East. Hey, it's in our backyards. It's with the drug epidemics. It's with the children being shot. It's with the gunmen getting up in the middle of a theater and shooting everyone. It's with the guy walking into the cafe with the explosive strapped to him in a suicide bombing attempt. It's with the escalation of war, where people cannot reconcile, and so you begin to fight with one another. And fighting isn't enough. Now you need to show off who has the bigger weapons, who can annihilate the other person. How about the entire gene pool? How about genocide? How about if we annihilated the entire world? In a world like that, you're talking about hopelessness. God gives us tools of faith, hope, and love. And I'm convinced for a group of people that have been out there, the Armenian people, that have never had any military might, any military strategy, but have somehow not only endured, but have been able to continue their lives, have been able to plant where there is no soil, to be able to reap a harvest where they haven't planted. It has to be because of something. And I'm convinced it is the elements of faith, hope, and love. I mean, think about it. There is something to be learned from everyone, and certainly from this small group of people, and an even smaller percentage of that group of people who subscribe to the Armenian Orthodox tradition. Have something to offer the world. Basically, look at us as an example of faith, hope, and love. It means that our hard-heartedness has been transferred. It means we are answering that hard-heartedness with something very, very tangible. Something very real. Something that works. Something that preserves life and doesn't destroy life. Think about it for a moment. We have an opportunity to present this, and it is nothing that is unusual. It is something that is, I think, we are born with, but we lose along the way. It's innate, and everyone has it. It's called the ability to love, the ability to have faith, the ability to dream and have hope. I'm going to come back in just a moment and share some final thoughts on this, okay? In the meantime, here's Susie to tell you how you can spread the faith, hope, and love.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazquez.
You know, there are so many things that really truly inspire me. One of them is, of course, waking up in Arizona. The other one is the smiles on people's faces. And when I see things working, and probably the biggest thing that really keeps me going is just having that faith, having that hope, believing in tomorrow. Dreaming that it can be possible. We can really subscribe to a better philosophy. And I'm not embarrassed to say it. Jesus Christ came and gave us one of the greatest gifts of all time. In fact, it is the greatest gift because it keeps us dreaming, keeps us believing, it keeps us having that faith, and it is founded on love. That's how simple it is, and we don't need to complicate it by too many rules. That's what we do over here. That's what Armadoxy is all about. And in finishing up today, I really wanted to share this with you today, because the more I'm studying, the more I'm understanding, the more I'm taking, you know, I got to tell you, the last few weeks, it's been very frustrating because I'm on the verge of putting this all down. I want to write it, but something's preventing me, and it's because it's giving me a chance to really explore it more. So the more I'm looking at it, the more I'm exploring, the more I'm challenging myself, the more I'm finding that really Orthodoxy is a way of life. It has been the way of life for a group of people that have really never known peace, but have somehow been able to conquer the difficulties of war, of famine, of invasion, of even genocide, with probably some of the greatest tools. And think about it for a moment. When you look at your lives and what do you have to conquer in your lives, it may not be genocide. Thank God it's not genocide, okay? Thank God it's not war. But you have your difficulties. You have relationships that have gone sour. You've had difficulties in expressing yourself, in self-worth issues. Who am I? What am I doing here? Why are people looking at me this way? Or why are they not looking at me this way? Self-worth. It's a big, big, big issue right now. And some people have it, and other people fall short of it. When you realize that here is a group of people that have had only faith, hope, and love, and have not only survived, but have been able to define themselves as a people, how much more you can do. And so I'm inviting you really to subscribe to a philosophy, to a religion. But I don't want to use that word religion because it conjures up too many negative things. Those of you who've been taking next steps with me since beginning of time, okay, I'll use that word. But those of you who are crawling with me today, those of you taking next steps, taking your first baby steps right now, don't be intimidated by the usual stuff, because I do talk about all of the usual stuff. I talk about Jesus Christ, but it is not the Jesus Christ of the movies. It's not the guy who comes around and says, okay, here I come to save the day, you know, like Mighty Mouse, and coming down out of the clouds and ready to beat up all of our negatives. No, it's a Jesus Christ who is founded on love. You see, St. Nerses the Shnorali, the graceful, okay? St. Nerses Shnorali. He is a saint of the 12th century. And he found in one of his famous hymns, he finds the primer. And it is divulged to us. And the primer is the one element that when you put it into place, it kind of all makes sense. The primer is Seronun Jesus. The name of love is Jesus. And so when you understand that Jesus is love, everything else falls into place. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. What is he saying? Love is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. What is he saying? No one goes to the Father except through love. See, it's not that difficult. And it all makes sense. And everything we do within Armenian Church, Armenian Orthodox tradition, points to this love. Points to this way of finding salvation for yourself, for your community, for your world. And so pray with me, please. Pray for this ministry. Become a part of this ministry and say, yes, this is really making sense. I don't want the Armenian Church. I've given my life to the Armenian Church, and it's not so the Armenian Church can, you know, go backwards. It's about living that faith out today. And there is an opportunity for us to do that. I call it Orthodoxy. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to be funny. But I don't want to conjure up any negative images. So we've given a new name. We've just basically smunched it together. You like that word? We smunched it together. Armenian Orthodoxy. Orthodoxy. Put it together and you got it, okay? It's very simple. Faith, hope, and love. I hope you're with me on this one, okay? And I want to invite you to continue your prayers. Continue to tell me what's going on in your life and how this is affecting you. I appreciate all of the email you send me, all of the calls and the well wishes that you see throughout the week. you know that I'm here and I appreciate it very much. Can't get back to everybody, but I do promise I do read it. If you want to drop me a line, please do so at feedback@epostle.net. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. We are at in the United States, area code 626. So if you're calling from outside of the United States, you got to dial into the United States, whatever way you do. I think the best way to do it is on Skype. You know, it's just a free Skype call. Skype us at United States, area code 626-275-AMEN. Okay, and that translates to 2636. 275-2636. And that spells out on the keypad, Amen. And of course, in Armenian, that's Amen. Very simple, okay? Drop us a line, feedback@epostle.net. If that's an easier way of communicating, do it that way. Hey, listen, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I want to thank you for joining us. During the week, do catch up with us. We are on Facebook. Of course, we are present there as Epostle and In Issues. You could join us on our website at epostle.net. Grab the app while you're at it. Put it on your smartphone, and we're only a button away, okay? We are on Stitcher Radio, on iTunes, of course, and on Blueberry. Remember, Epostle. Easy to remember, apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. I look forward to seeing you again next week. For the wonderful crew who put this together today, for Susie, our producer, for Vahe, our webman, for Ani, who promises to be back blowing some bubbles next week, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your broadcast out.